You may be seated. Good morning. It's good to gather on this Lord's Day. We're excited that you've decided to join us this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, and we look forward to celebrating with our college graduates this morning who have joined us for worship this day. May the Holy Spirit move in our hour of worship this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship today. I encourage you to fill out one of the visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching this morning on Facebook Live online, thank you for joining us for worship today. If you're a first-time guest with us online, please send me an email this week and let me share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. I do want to remind everybody online that you can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There, pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource, not just for this hour of worship, but also for the ministries coming up in the life of our church. I do want to remind our church family, all those that are watching online and those in our sanctuary this morning, that this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will be wrapping up our adult Bible study, Reckless Love. We've had six wonderful weeks of sessions, and today in session six, we'll be wrapping up our study as we talk about emulating Christ. So that'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon upstairs in the fellowship hall. I hope you will join us for that time of worship, that time of Bible study. And of course, you can watch it online on Facebook Live if you can't join us in person. If you look at your calendar for things coming up this week, I do want to remind you that Tuesday we will be going to our bingo and birthday ministry at Golden Year Senior Center. That'll be at 1:30 p.m. this week. So 1:30 on Tuesday for Golden Years. Also, choir, just a reminder, Wednesday's choir practice is at 6:30 p.m. Last week I talked about our June-July missions in-gathering. We will be collecting snack items and drink items for Camp Greenleaves this summer. So you can start bringing those items by. Many of you have already brought those items, and thank you. Continue to do that through the month of June, also into early July. Of course, Liz Hill is leading Camp Greenleaves again this summer, and she is very thankful for all the support you've given Camp Greenleaves through the years, and again for your support this year. So bring those items by, but please make note of the dietary restrictions about peanuts and peanut butter. Please don't bring snack items that have those ingredients in them. We are 2 weeks away from our Community Vacation Bible School. 2 weeks from today, we will join with Elon Community Church for Shake It Up Cafe. Elon Community will be hosting it. We will be helping and assisting with that. I encourage you to spread the word to your neighbors, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, to anybody you might know that would want to participate in our Vacation Bible School this year. It should be a lot of fun. It'll be June 22nd through the 25th. The details are on the back of your bulletin this morning, so you can look at those details and find out about the times and all the details like that. If you would like to help with Vacation Bible School, you can speak to myself or Gay this morning, and we'll pass on information about Vacation Bible School this year. We gather here today, however, to worship. We gather here to lift praise to the Holy Spirit as He guides us on this Pentecost Sunday. Let us prepare hearts and minds to be touched by the Spirit this morning.
Good morning. I'm going to ask you guys to stand here in just a second. Our first hymn is called Holy Spirit Rain Down, and we're not entirely sure if you guys know this one. I think we've done it before. We had to kind of refresh it. So we're going to ask that you stand, and we're going to sing the first verse, and then I'm going to turn around and ask you to join us for the rest of it. So if you'll stand for me, Holy Spirit Rain Down.
Oh,
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34 and 35b. Listen to these words from the psalm. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditations be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to listen to those verses from the psalm, and it speaks, when you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. When we experience the Spirit in our lives, and we experience the Spirit in worship, we're made new. We're created new in his presence. And for that, we give thanks on this Pentecost Sunday. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God of wind and flame, pour out your Holy Spirit on a world in need of Pentecost fire. Fill us with courage and power, and set our hearts ablaze that our young may have visions and our elders may have dreams. Ignite a passion within us to spread the good news of your glorious salvation. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you stand and join me as we sing the Pentecost hymn? You'll recognize the tune, but the words just a little bit different. Will you stand and join me?
Thank you.
This morning, we are blessed to celebrate with three of our college students who have celebrated graduation from their respective institutions over this past year. We've had the wonderful opportunity to watch these young women and men grow up within these walls and then go spread their wings as they followed God's call to NC State and Appalachian State. Now they prepare and have already started the next steps in their journey of life. This morning, I'm going to invite each one of them up to come forward and receive a gift from the church, and then share about their accomplishments and their future plans, if known. Many have already started in those plans. Following the worship service, you will get an opportunity to speak to each one of them individually. They will be in the foyer following the worship service, so you can greet them with personal congratulations. And it hit me as they were gathering in my office prior to the worship service. That's what they used to do. They used to gather in my office when I was their youth minister many years ago. And I just realized, I'm just getting old, right? I'm just getting old. And that's okay. That's okay. Because it's good to watch these highly intelligent, gifted young people start their life's journey. So again, I'm going to recognize them one by one and have them call up. As I do call them up, we, as I said a couple weeks ago, for our other high school, our other graduate Sunday, I do want the family members that are here, who are gathered here, to stand in honor of their graduate, because, as I told them, they didn't do it by themselves. They did have the support of their family. So as I recognize these graduates, if the family members would stand in their honor. So this morning, our first college graduate is Olivia Allred.
Hello, my name is Olivia Allred. I went to NC State. I graduated with a mathematics degree and a minor in accounting. I'm currently working as a finance intern at Charter Success Partners with my mother, which is in Durham.
And Olivia was begging me not to make her go first. I said, that's what you get when you have an A as your last name. So our next college graduate that we celebrate this morning is Catherine Farnham.
I'm Catherine Farnham. I just graduated with a bachelor's in chemistry from NC State. I also graduated with a minor in biology and environmental toxicology. And in the fall, I'll continue my studies by pursuing a master's in toxicology, also at NC State. So.
Our final college graduate we have with us this morning is Patrick Ruth.
I didn't approve that picture, but I'm Patrick Roof. I graduated from Appalachian State University with a bachelor's in construction management, and I already got a job at Hoffman & Hoffman in Greensboro doing sales, so, yep.
Unfortunately, Jacob Pritcher, who also graduated from Appalachian State University, could not be with us this morning, but we lift him up and we celebrate with him and his graduation from App State this year as well. This morning, I want to lift up a prayer for our graduates and their families this day as they journey into that next stage of life. So if you would, everybody, would you bow in prayer for me, with me this morning? Dear God, we pray that you would give our graduates wisdom and direction in making decisions in each new situation and journey you have for them now. Teach them to listen closely to your voice, that they would have a heart to obey your word and have a desire to make the right choices. We pray that these graduates will walk faithfully and diligently in all your ways. We ask that you would make their footsteps firm, that your word would be a constant lamp for their feet and a light to their path. May they sense the freshness of your Spirit over their lives in amazing ways, and may they be strengthened, instilled with hope for the new roads you have in store. We ask for your wisdom and clear direction over their lives, that you would give them understanding beyond their years. We ask you to open doors that need to be opened and close doors, that ones that need to be shut tight. Allow every gift and treasure that you have placed inside their lives to grow, to develop, and to flourish, to bring you glory. Amen. Graduates, the gifts that you have received today from the church are tools that you can use as you move forward in your journey. One is a devotional, one that will remind you of the importance of personal time with God. The second gift is a book, a reminder that you are lifelong students. Even though you may have got that degree and you have graduated, you are never finished with your education. Finally, and most importantly, is the Bible. May you spend time daily in God's Word as it serves as a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And know that our prayers don't stop today, but they will continue to do so for many days, weeks, and months, and years to come. Now at this time, I'll call on Earlene Mann for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Almighty God, how great you are. You are the creator and indeed sustainer of all life. We praise you. Your glory is displayed in all parts of the creation. We stand in awe of how you have provided every single thing for life, and even eternal life, that we might live with you forever through your Son's death and resurrection. We praise you. Forgive us, Lord, when we are careless in taking care of this beautiful creation. Help us to be good stewards of all that you have provided. In gratitude for your love and your grace and your provision, we bring our offerings from the resources you have so generously given us. Please accept them and bless them. Give us the wisdom to use them in your name, in the operation of this church, and in sharing your love in this community and throughout the world. May I ask you to open our ears and our eyes, our minds and our hearts to the message that you've given David for us today, that we might serve you better. Fill our hearts in this church with your Spirit, that we may shine your light so brightly in this community that others will be drawn to you. May our praise and worship be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. I want to thank Sally Farnham, who stepped in to lead our worship choir and music today. As Gay continues to heal, we're keeping her, we're slowing her down. She wanted to be up here already, but the doctor, with his great wisdom, said, "You don't need to be up here yet." So, again, thank you, Sally, and thank you for all our music leaders, our talented musicians who have stepped in and helped during this time. We are blessed. We are blessed. If you would, join me in prayer once again as we prepare to encounter God's word this morning. Let us pray. For the gift of your Spirit, we praise you, O God. We have come to you by the Spirit's conviction. We have new life through the Spirit's indwelling. We are made your children by the Spirit's adoption. We witness and serve by the Spirit's empowerment, and we yearn to be more like Christ because of the Spirit's urgings. Continue, we pray, your gracious work that so that we may walk in the world free from the bondage of sin and free to do your will in the glorious liberty of your children through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon. Thank you for joining us for worship on this special Sunday in the Christian calendar. It is Pentecost Sunday. And this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different. As we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, I'm going to begin our worship service by reading our scripture passage for our sermon first. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 through 21. Again, this is the passage in Scripture that describes the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, at the Christian Pentecost. So join me in reading and listening to the words from Acts 2. The words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Pentecost Sunday. The Lord will pour out his Spirit like a mighty wind. So says the prophet Joel. So says Peter. The Lord will pour out his Spirit. When that happens, our young men and women will have visions. They will have the gift of prophecy. Signs will be visible in the heavens and on the earth. Great things will happen. Miracles will abound. Events only imagined will come to pass. All people will hear the gospel and believe. Do you believe that is possible? Do you believe that is possible? Or do you think that this story from Acts is just that, a nice story? Do you believe that the wind of the Spirit can bring miracles? Do you believe that God, in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, can do things that we think are unimaginable? Let's remember for a moment an incident in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas went to a prayer meeting. When they got there, they found a slave girl who was possessed by an evil spirit. This particular spirit enabled this girl to tell fortunes. Her master probably set her up in business. She made a whole lot of money for them doing this. Paul saw what was going on then. He came up to her and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." Immediately, the evil spirit left this girl. The master was angry because he lost his income stream. But the greater story is that she was set free of her evil spirit. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in the power of the Spirit? Do you believe that God delivers us from danger? What about when Paul was in Damascus, stirred up so much trouble in that crowd that they came to kill him? His friends let him down in a basket through an opening in the city wall, saving his life. Do you believe that God delivers us from danger? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that God can take people who are hostile to the gospel and change them? What about Paul? On the way to Damascus to round up Christians in order to bring them back to Jerusalem for persecution, God blinded him on the way, stopping him in his tracks. God then picked him up, set him on the path to become the greatest missionary the church has ever seen. Do you believe God can change people? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that God can do incredible things which, in our wildest imagination, we could not even begin to dream? Giovanni Bernardone was born in Italy in 1182. His father, Pietro, was a wealthy businessman who bought and sold fine fabrics. His mother, Pica, was French, and so after his father returned from a business trip to France, he decided that he was going to rename his son, and he changed his son's name to Francesco, or what they oftentimes referred him to as the little Frenchman. Francesco was a child of luxury and grew to love the life of privilege and riches. But when civil war broke out between his birthplace and a rival city, he decided that he wanted to join the army and become a soldier. When he turned 20 years old, he joined the army, shortly after which he was captured and spent a year as a prisoner of war. Due to the wealth of his family, Pietro, his father, was able to ransom his terribly ill son, at that point Francesco, from prison. After a period of recovery, Francesco decided that he wanted to join the Crusades and participate in winning back the Holy Land from the forces of Islam. God, however, had other ideas. Francesco was on his way to battle in Palestine when he had a vision in which God told him to return home, spend his time seeking God's will for his life. On his return journey back home, Francesco continued to listen to God and was led into a deeper and deeper sense that he was being called into a life of service instead. Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? One day after he arrived home, he was meditating beside an old abandoned church and distinctly heard God's voice telling him to rebuild his church. Well, at first, Francesco took that quite literally, and so he set out to restore the old building that he was praying beside. But later, he began to understand that the Spirit's message was telling him to meant to rebuild the spiritual heart of the church, and especially to reach out to the poor. So, one day, he went into his father's shop, took some of the expensive cloth, sold it, and gave all the proceeds to the poor in that village. His father, however, Pietro, was quite livid at his son, and he even took his son in front of the local bishop, demanding that his son pay retribution, and that retribution will be put on his son. At that very point, Francesco renounced his claim to his father's estate and returned everything that he had, even the literal clothes on his back. He stripped his clothes off, stood naked before the bishop, and spoke to his father, saying this: "Until now, I have called you father, but from now on, I can say without reserve, our Father who art in heaven. He is all my wealth, and I place my confidence in him." Francesco began living in complete poverty, begging for everything he needed, wandering the countryside, preaching the gospel, and ministering to lepers and other outcasts. 3 years later, after several thousand other young men began to follow his example, Francesco traveled to Rome to ask the Pope for approval for a new monastic order. The Pope agreed to his plan, and thus began one of the greatest spiritual movements in Christian history. Francesco Bernardone was a native son of Assisi and had such a profound influence on the church that only 2 years after his death, he was canonized by the church and has been known ever since as St. Francis of Assisi, founder of the Franciscan order. Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? How could Francis have given up everything he knew and that he loved? He gave it all up for God, who loved him even more. Never underestimate the incredible power of the Holy Spirit to do miraculous things. Do you believe that God, acting through the Holy Spirit, can do miraculous things? Do you believe that? Let me share one other story from St. Francis' life. And it speaks to the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've heard it before. There was a huge wolf which was terrorizing the village of Gubbio. It had killed several children, and the people were so afraid that they would not even venture out of their homes. Francis visited to see what he could possibly do. He walked down the town road for several miles and came face to face with the wolf, which bared its teeth and started charging at him. Francis softly called out, "Come to me, brother wolf. In the name of Christ, I charge you not to hurt anyone anymore." The wolf lay down at Francis's feet. Francis instructed the wolf to leave the people alone. In return, the people would leave out food for the wolf, and he would have something to eat. From that day on, the people and the wolf lived peacefully. Do you believe that God can do incredible things? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? In the life of St. Francis, as often with other heroes, stories have often taken on life of themselves. We sometimes have trouble distinguishing between legend and other factual happenings. For the sake of the argument, let's put the wolf story of St. Francis in the category of myth for a second. When we say the word myth, we often think of outlandish stories. However, myths refer to truths that cannot be told in any other way. Did the wolf come to lie at the feet of St. Francis? Even if it's not historical, I wasn't there, you weren't there, so we don't know the truth. But even if it's not historical, there is truth in the fact that God used St. Francis to change the lives of people. God worked powerfully through the life of this poor monk so that others might come into communion with Christ and live lives free from fear as they trusted the work of the Holy Spirit. I hope that we will never be surprised at the things God can do in our midst, or the things that God will call us to do in our midst. Because I think too oftentimes in today's society, we think to ourselves and say, God would never call us to do that. Ever thought that before? Have you ever thought that before? God wouldn't call me to do that. God would never challenge me to do that. Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? The disciples were sitting in a room and they weren't sure what to do. And flaming tongues of fire came and laid on their heads. And they began to preach in every tongue. Let me ask you a question. Is that one of those circumstances where you would say, God would never call me to do that? I think it might be. Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? What about the work of the Spirit in William Seymour in the late 1800s and early 1900s? An invitation to California to preach led to the Azusa Street Revival, a three-year-long revival that broke color divides and that led thousands to turn their lives over to Christ. What about the work of the Spirit and the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the mid-1950s, challenging him to travel across the Southeast, even the world, to speak about racial injustice and Christian love? Sermons from the pulpit and speeches for the people challenged our society to take an honest look at a divided society, leading thousands to cross a racial divide. What about the work of the Spirit and the life of a Southern boy by the name of Billy Graham in the 1900s? A call to preach to a North Carolina boy led to thousands upon thousands of evangelistic crusades across the world. A servant's heart and passionate sermons led to millions coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what Pentecost is all about. It's not about something that happened 2,000 years ago. Pentecost is about something that happens now. Now. And I think for too long, the Baptist Church has been scared of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't explain it, and we don't know how to describe it, and we'll leave it to those kind of strange brothers and sisters in Christ at the Pentecostal church. They can have ownership of the Holy Spirit. We're good with the Father and the Son. But it's time for the Baptist church to start reclaiming the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is what challenges us to get off our lazy seats and do the work of Christ. That deserves an amen. Are you awake, First Baptist Elon? Because if you're not, guess what? The Holy Spirit is here. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Do you feel the Holy Spirit in your life? The disciples were not expecting the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. They weren't expecting it. However, when the flaming tongues of the Spirit landed on them, their lives were changed. Do you feel the Spirit in your life? How will the Spirit blow through you? I do not know what God has planned for your life or for the life of even this church. It is quite possible that we will never see wild animals come to our feet and lay down there. It is quite possible that a revival will never break out here and thousands will ever stream the aisles of our small sanctuary. Yet, I am convinced that the Holy Spirit will still work in our lives, in our church's life, perhaps in ways so spectacular, but in power in just the way he wants to. Perhaps we need to be aware of the workings of the Holy Spirit in the little things. Maybe we need to start small. Perhaps the Spirit might come and work through our connections ministry. Perhaps the Spirit might come and work through one of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our nieces and nephews at Vacation Bible School in 2 weeks. Perhaps the Spirit will move in the life of one of our 3 graduates who we celebrate today, and they make a difference in our community or in the communities in which they settle. I don't know. Perhaps the Spirit will move in you, in your family, in your work setting. I don't know, but it's okay to not know, because that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of how the Spirit moves. Do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit to do incredible things. Even the things that we think are quite small are no less miracles than the loosening of prison chains, the casting out of demons, the taming of a wild animal, or tongues of fire. Do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and in our corporate life together. God has not stopped working. God is not finished with us yet. That is why the Holy Spirit and Pentecost Sunday, and why the Spirit is guiding us to this moment of worship, to the table. And I hope you are ready to be moved by this part of worship as well. Because when we come to the table and we're moved by the Spirit, this moment of worship, this opportunity of worship can be empowering for not just this hour, for the hours and the days and the weeks to come. Are you prepared to encounter the Spirit? Do you believe that the Spirit is working in you? Would you pray with me this morning? Eternal God, live in us on this day of Pentecost as you live in your Son. Draw us into communion with you and with one another, that we might glorify your name and reveal your majesty to the world. As we partake in these elements this morning, may they remind us not only of the sacrifice that was made, but your eternal promise and your eternal presence promised by your Son and granted through your Holy Spirit. Help us to courageously keep your commandments and boldly proclaim your mighty works. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray this morning. Amen. Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Take that question in this morning as we partake of the body and blood of Christ. Deacons, would you come forward this morning? This morning I'll ask Deacon John Russell to have a blessing for the bread this day.
There you go.
disciples at that Last Supper that night, he knew that the Holy Spirit was going to be given following his death on the cross, following his resurrection, and following his ascension. He knew that they would never be alone. So as we take this bread together, as we take this, may we recognize that the presence of God is with us always. Christ's body was broken for you. Take and eat. I'll ask Bill Thompson to have a blessing for the cup.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your sacrifice, your blood sacrifice, and death and blood that flowed gives us everlasting life. Forgives our sins. Thank you for the continued forgiveness of sins that one of our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Thank you.
Jesus took the cup that night. He said, this is the cup or the blood of the new covenant that I make with you. That new covenant, part of that is the eternal presence with us. And that eternal presence is found in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that guides us, that is with us every single day. So as you partake in the cup this morning, be reminded that His presence is with us daily, as long as we put our faith in Him. Christ's blood was shed for you. Take and drink. As that final meal, they concluded that night by singing and then going out. So this morning, we will do the same. We'll close with our closing hymn. And this morning, if you have a decision to make to embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, I'll be down front. If you want to join a church family that seeks to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's work, to build His kingdom, come forward and embrace First Baptist Elon as your church home. Or if you're just struggling to see how the Spirit is working in your heart, let me pray with you. Our deacons are sitting right here, and they'll be more than happy to pray with you as well. Whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. Don't put it off. The Holy Spirit is working. Allow it to work in your life today. Let's stand and sing. Ask the congregation to remain standing just for a moment to give the opportunity for our graduates to walk to the back and go into the foyer so you can greet them. So if our three college graduates would just exit at this time. And I encourage you to congratulate them as you walk out this day. And I encourage you, as you leave this place today, be open to see how the Spirit is moving in your life. The Spirit is moving. Are you aware of it? See where it's guiding you. Go in peace on this Pentecost Sunday.